Chapter 18. Eugenie Rose was in Boston with Justin's new musical show, which, secretly, had been based upon a map of the heavens issued by the National Geographic Society 2 years before. Marco planned to join her the next day. She and Marco talked on the telephone at odd hours. They were still dedicated to an early marriage, and seemed more than ever convinced that, in a world apparently so populated, no one else existed. It was Christmas Eve. Raymond had invited Marco for dinner, telephoning him from the office to say that he had given Chun Jin the night off and that Chun Jin had resisted. Marco said that was because Chun Jin was undoubtedly a Buddhist and not a celebrant at Christmas. Raymond said he was sure Chun Jin was not a Buddhist because he left books by Mary Baker Eddy around the pantry and kitchen and was forever smiling. Marco said he felt a sense of disappointment at that news because he had figured that if he sent Chun Jin a Christmas card, Chun Jin would then be obligated to send him a card on Buddha's birthday or lose face. Marco arrived at Raymond's apartment at 7 o'clock and brought 2 bottles of cold champagne with him. Unfortunately, for the hangovers the following day, Raymond had also put 2 quarts of champagne in the refrigerator. They decided they would sidle toward food a little later and settle down in Raymond's office behind the big window, and with commendable seasonal cooperation, it began to snow large goose feathers, a present from the birthday boy himself, in lieu of peace on earth. After 2 goblets of the golden bubbles, Raymond reached under his chair and stiffly handed Marco a large, gift-wrapped package. "Merry Christmas," he said. "It has been good to know you." Raymond, saying those words, sounded more touching than anyone else who could have said them, because while Raymond had been marooned in time and on Earth, and in all the pit-black darkness of interstellar space, Marco was the only other being, except Josie, who had acknowledged he was there. Marco ripped away the elegant golden blue paper, revealing the 3 volumes of Fuller's A Military History of the Western World, rebound in limp Morocco leather. Marco held on to the books with one hand and pounded the embarrassed, grinning Raymond with the other. Then he put the books upon the desk and reached into his pocket. "And a merry, merry Christmas to you too, young man," he sang out, handing Raymond a long, flat envelope. Raymond started to open the envelope, slowly and with wonderment. "Wait, wait," Marco said. He hurried to the record player, shuffled through some albums, and slid out a 12-inch record of Christmas carols. The machine conferred silvered voices upon them, singing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are."
"Okay, proceed," Marco said.
Raymond opened the envelope and found a gift certificate in the amount of $50 to be drawn on Les Pyramides of Middle Broadway, the Gitlitz Delicatessen. The frosty carol swelled around them as Raymond smiled his always touching smile at the gift in his hands. "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to the perfect light." Marco thought of their own 3 kings of Orient, Gomel, Berezovo, and that old, old Chinese who had handed Raymond the gun to kill Bobby Lembeck. Raymond said, "What a wonderful present. I mean, who else in the world but you could even think of such a wonderful present? This, well, it's simply great. That's what it is." They sat down again, fulfilled by giving. They watched the snow, listened to the Mahner Gesangsverein, finished the 1st bottle of wine, and overflowed with Christmas spirit. Raymond was opening the 2nd bottle when he said steadily, "Josie's husband died."
"Yeah?"
Marco sat straight up.
"When?"
"Last week."
"How'd you find out?"
"Mother told me. She had told the embassy to keep an eye on Josie. They told her."
"What are you going to do?"
"I saw Senator Jordan. We're pretty good friends. At first it was hard because Mother had told him I was a pervert and that they would have to save Josie from me. But in a way, he had to see me because he's in politics and I'm a newspaperman. After a while, when we reached an understanding about what a monster my mother is, we were able to get to be pretty good friends. I asked him if I could help in any way. The paper has an office there. He said no. He said the best thing I could do would be to wait and give Josie a chance to recover. Then if she doesn't start for home in 6 months, say, He thinks maybe I should go down there and get her. At least go down there and ask her. You know.
I take it your mother isn't against Josie anymore.
No.
Some switch.
Try not to laugh and so will I, but that is exactly the case. Some switch. Josie's father has become very big in his party, particularly in the Senate. Mother saw it coming before anyone else, and she's done everything she can to be fast friends with him. But he isn't having any. So I guess she decided if she couldn't get him on their side positively, she could cancel him out by marrying me off to his daughter, little knowing that I incite Senator Jordan against her and Johnny more than any other one agency, excepting their own lovable personalities.
What a doll. If she were my wife, I'd probably be Generalissimo Trujillo by now. At least.
At least.
So she thinks it might be a good idea for you and Josie to get married?
That is the general feeling I am allowed to get.
How did Josie's husband die?
That is a good morbid question. It just so happens he was struck down by an unknown hand in a flash riot in a town called Tucumán. He was an agronomist.
What has that got to do with it?
Well, I guess that's how he happened not to be in Buenos Aires with Josie.
Have you written to her?
Raymond looked out of the window at the snow and the night and shook his head.
If you think I can, I'd like to help you with the letter.
You'll have to help me, Raymond said simply. I can't do it. I can't even get started. I want to write her and tell her things, but I have those 8 years choking me.
It's all a matter of tone, not so much words, Marco explained, not having the faintest idea of what he was talking about, but knowing he was light years ahead of Raymond in knowledge of human communication. Sure, wait, if that feels right. But no 6 months. I think we should get a letter off fairly soon. You know, a letter of condolence. That would be a natural icebreaker. Then after that, we'll slide into the big letter. But don't wait too long. You'll have to get it over with so you'll both know for once and for all.
Know what?
Whether... Well, she should know that you want her, and you have to know whether she wants you.
She has to. What would I do if she didn't?
You've been managing to get along.
No. No, it won't do, Ben. That is not enough. I may not have much coming to me, but I have more coming to me than I'm getting.
Listen, kid. If that's the way it's going to be, then that's the way. Now, take it easy. And please, figure on one step at a time.
Sure. I'm willing.
You've got to give the thing time.
Sure. That's what Senator Jordan said.